Without further delay, I am humbled to welcome Sheikh Muzaffar Haider from, ironically, the United Kingdom, who will be speaking to us about Islam, the great media war. Let's go ahead and invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wadduha والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث صدق الله العلي العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي.
Brothers and sisters, respected elders, fellow Hausa students and comrades, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this golden opportunity, and by thanking the honorable organizers of this event. I'd like to ask all of the mu'mineen to please recite a surah Fatiha for my grandfather, Sayyid Muhammad Ali Abidi. We live in a dark world, a world full of fitna, confusion, chaos, corruption. Everywhere you look, you see some form of injustice. Every time you turn on the television, you see some form of bad news. Now, there are many factors that have contributed to the depressing world that we live in today. There are political, military factors. There are economic, cultural, and technological factors too. But all of these factors existed in the past. What's new? The internet is new. Social media is new. The age of information in which we now live is a world where media has transformed global societies forever. Therefore, the discussion we're going to be having tonight is about the great media war. And we're going to discuss this through four questions. The first question is, what is the great media war and how did they wage it against us using role models? The second question is, how central to Islam is the concept of jihad and how does this apply to media? Thirdly, how do we envision the future of media in the era of Imam Mahdi? And fourthly, who is our role model in this fight? So, in the name of Fatima, her magnificent father, her magnanimous husband, and her two sons, the martyrs of all martyrs, I bid you to bless this discussion with a loud and boisterous salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Oh, So firstly, what is the great media war and how did they wage it against us using role models? The former president of the United States of America, George W. Bush, following the invasion of Iraq and subsequently the invasion, before that, the invasion of Afghanistan, he described it as a crusade. Now, this is very telling for anybody who is familiar with the history of the wars that were waged on Muslim lands. It was revealing for us that the president himself was declaring that this was a war specifically against Muslims and Islam. But it wasn't just a military war. In fact, it was an ideological war as well. And dare I say it, it is the greatest war that has ever been waged against humanity. Despite that, there are many people out there, unfortunately, who deny that this great war has been waged against us, to the point where Imam Khamenei had to state that the soft war is an undeniable phenomenon. Now, there's several key concepts when it comes to media studies. I'd like to share two of them with you today. The first of them is institution, and the second of them is ideology. The key concept of institution basically teaches us that every media text, whether it's a movie, a sitcom, a tragedy, whether it's a magazine or an app on your phone, every media form has an institution behind it, has people who have created that media text. Ideology, the key concept of ideology, teaches us that every media form, whatever form it may take, has ideologies in it. Okay? I want us to think about this in terms of food. So imagine for a moment you go to a shop and you buy a burger. But what if I were to tell you that that burger has been created by the hands of a kafir and his hands were naked and wet with sweat? Would you eat that burger? Many of us will recognize that if we consume that burger, it's going to have negative spiritual effects on our soul, and so we won't eat it. Media is just like that. Oftentimes we're consuming media because it's entertaining or because it's informative, but we have to constantly be cognizant of the institution behind that media, who created it, because that too is going to have spiritual effects on our soul. Similarly, imagine you're eating some food, and that food has nutrients in it. It has proteins and fats and fibers. It has vitamins in it. But what if it also has some form of contamination? What if it also contains harmful bacteria? God forbid, it contains a virus. When you eat that burger or that food, you're also consuming those bad things, as well as the good things. Media is just like that. When you consume any form of media, you are also consuming the ideologies that exist within that media text. When I was younger, I had all sorts of role models. I had role models like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. I had role models like Dumbledore from Harry Potter. You know, and I saw them, these great white bearded wise wizards. They, for me, were like the epitome of wisdom. I had other role models like Brad Pitt, like Leonardo DiCaprio, like Robin Williams. I wanted to look like them, I wanted to walk like them, I wanted to talk like them. I had other role models too, like Bollywood actors. For example, Shah Rukh Khan. I wanted to act like him. And then I had a whole load of superheroes. Superman, Spider-Man, Wolverine. Then I learned that Gandalf This character, the actor who played Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, was actually gay. He was a sodomite. As well as that, J.K. Rowling, the writer of Harry Potter, announced that the character of Dumbledore was also gay. I realized that actually, through these role models, they are promoting their LGBT agenda. I realized that actors like Brad Pitt, like Leonardo DiCaprio, and others are in some way affiliated with Israel. They have Israeli wives, or they've done fundraising for Israel in some way. I realized that again, through these role models, they are creating a soft spot in our hearts for the Zionist entity. I realized also that Bollywood, as well as Hollywood, is pushing a certain agenda. So there's this movie called My Name is Khan. In this movie, the actor Shah Rukh Khan, he plays the role of a Muslim. What kind of Muslim? A Muslim who is completely passive, he's autistic, and his entire mission throughout the movie is just to seek the approval and validation of the United States of America. There's a scene in this movie where he's standing among huge crowds of Americans who are chanting and waving at the American president, and he puts his hand up and he says, "Mr. President, my name is Khan, and I am not a terrorist." You see, through such role models, what they're actually pushing is this idea of being passive. Now, it doesn't matter how much we tell people that Islam wants us to be ashidda'u 'alal kuffar. Islam wants us to be firm against the disbelievers. Islam tells us to have a sense of izzah, of honor. It doesn't matter how much you tell people about these things, because if they have such role models that they follow, then they'll never budge. And in that movie, we see that despite all the crimes of the FBI perpetrated against him, he never once complains or says a word against the United States of America or the president. This is exactly the kind of house Muslim that they want us to be. They want us to be passive. They want us to be soft. And so it doesn't matter how much we tell the youths that the United States of America is evil, it is deceptive, it is the great Satan, it is fake, it is folly. Because these youths, unfortunately, they've seen with their own eyes Spider-Man valiantly swinging through the city with the American flag proudly portrayed behind him. They've seen with their eyes as he saves the day from the bad guys. They've seen with their own eyes how Iron Man, who is nothing but an American multi-billionaire arms dealer, went and saved the day by fighting the bad guys in the Middle East. The main point that we have to recognize here, dear brothers and sisters, is that when our hearts are attached to certain role models, our hearts will also be attached to the ideologies that those role models profess. Now, these are the kinds of positive role models presented by America and the great media war. But they've also presented negative role models. Imam Khamenei said, "Do not allow them to hypocritically introduce their own recruited terrorists as representatives of Islam." And so we see that America created a phenomenon that we refer to as American Sunnism. They recruited certain terrorists and they organized them, created terrorist organizations. Now, when they brought these groups like the Taliban, like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda to the surface and pushed them throughout the mainstream media everywhere you looked and in the news, what did it do to the Muslims? It made the Muslims go on the back foot. The natural reaction for any Muslim was to recoil and say, no, 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 I'm not like them. It made us become defensive. And what America did is it took some of the most beautiful concepts of Islam, twisted it into something ugly so that you and I would be afraid of those things. What concepts did they push through the likes of these groups? Concepts like jihad itself, the concepts like sharia, concepts like shahada, dying for the sake of Allah, being killed in the way of Allah, the Quran itself, even the beautiful slogan Allahu Akbar. You saw that they promoted it as nothing but some lowly slogan of terrorist fancies. This is what they did to our religion. And so any Muslim was now afraid to even talk about these concepts, even bring them up, let alone act on these concepts. Now, how did they create a group like these terrorist outfits? How did they create them? Well, it was a fairly simple plot, again, orchestrated through the media. They went to certain Sunnis and they said, you love Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha? You love her? Here's a Shia cursing her, slandering her, abusing her, attacking her. How does that make you feel? These kinds of things, which was a plot of British Shiaism, angered these Sunnis, infuriated them to the point that they were not only willing to take up arms and kill Shias, but they were even willing to kill themselves, do suicide bombings, just imagine it for a moment, in order to take some Shias with them. And of course, it wasn't just Shias who were the victims of American Sunnism, it was Sunnis as well. This is what America created. And therefore we see that Imam Khamenei says that American Sunnism and British Shiaism are only two blades of the same scissors. In fact, it's British Shiaism which created those terrorist outfits in the first place. Now, how did they promote these terrorists? What did they name them? They called them the Taliban. What does Taliban mean? It's actually a beautiful meaning. It means students. Who were they really intending to attack and defame? You and I. We're the actual students. They wanted to attack us from the beginning. How did they name these terrorist organizations? They named them Islamic State. While in reality, ISIS was neither Islamic nor was it a state. Who's the real Islamic State in all its beauty, which the Americans were trying to defame and attack? It's the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is in reality Islamic, and it is a state. Similarly, we see them hijacking our terminologies and twisting it into something evil when it comes to British Shiaism. British Shiaism, one of its channels, for example, what's its name? Imam Hussein TV. You see how they are hijacking your religion? They are attacking you. They are attacking your deen. They are attacking the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam itself. And these are just some of the plots. What I want to do here, for the sake of brevity, is just mention some and allude to some of the examples of how society has been attacked by the great media war that has been waged against us. If you see that in society, hijab is bad, we have to ask ourselves, why is hijab bad? Our research team actually discovered an archived video from around 100 years ago. It's an amazing video, and if you can search for it, go and search for it. It's a video of a street, of a city in the United Kingdom, in the UK. Very grotty, black and white, and you'll see, like, it seems like hundreds of people are walking down that street. And if you observe, every single woman, whether young or old, is wearing hijab. Subhanallah. This is the way that even Western societies were like around 100 years ago. What happened in just a few decades that transformed those societies to such an extent that hijab became something alien to them? What happened? We see that certain role models were presented to them. This is glamour. This is beauty. This is what you should look like constantly, until the entire society transformed. I want to give you a modern example of how hijab particularly has been attacked. One of my favorite movies when I was growing up was Disney's Aladdin. I used to love that movie. Obviously now I wouldn't show it to my children. There's a scene in Aladdin where Princess Jasmine is wearing a hijab. And one of the guards with a grizzly beard and a scimitar comes along and laughs at her and throws her onto the ground and is about to arrest Aladdin. At this point, Princess Jasmine stands up. She throws off her hijab. The camera angle changes to show her in all of her liberation. And she is suddenly given all of this honor and respect. That same guard who had previously laughed and thrown her on the ground now cowers and says, "Your Highness, Your Majesty." So on the one hand, they are showing our youths, if you wear hijab, you will not be taken seriously, you will be laughed at, you will be abused, you will be attacked. If you remove your hijab, you will be treated like a princess. Now, it doesn't matter, dear brothers and sisters, how much we tell the youths, we tell our young sisters, "Sister, your hijab is your crown. Sister, your hijab is your honor. Sister, Imam Khomeini said, you are the flag bearers of Islam." Imagine that respect and honor that Islam has given to you. It doesn't matter. If their hearts have been impacted to that single scene in a cartoon made by the enemies. If we see that in society, marriages are falling apart, if we see that divorce rates are skyrocketing, and it seems like no new couples can really stay together anymore, what's happening here? We see that while we try to present role models, positive, real, true role models, like Sayyidah Khadija and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we try and present Sayyidah Fatima and Imam Ali alayhi salam, the mainstream media is constantly throwing other corrupted role models to our people through romantic comedies, through even when they're children, you know, they're taught this whole idea of the happily ever after and the princess running away with the with the prince, charming. You know, if they listen to a love song and even one idea, i.e. ideology, hits their minds, it's going to transform how they think and feel about their spouse forever. This is what we're facing. If we see that the Quran, on the one hand, tells us that we have created you as men and women, and in tribes and nations, لِيَتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may know one another. And the Quran and Islam teaches us that إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, surely the best among you is the one who has the highest level of taqwa, of God consciousness. Does that really matter? If practically speaking, Day after day, night after night, we are being bombarded with the idea of some people being more important than others purely on the basis of where they come from or the color of their skin. Let me ask you a question. If 100 people were killed in a bombing in Iraq, and at the same time, 10 people were killed in the West in a bombing, which one is more likely to get international press coverage? Which one? We all know the answer. Because this is the world that we're living in. A world where the media has dehumanized certain people. For example, Muslims. For example, blacks. For example, Arabs. We're living in a world, dear brothers and sisters, where racism is so rampant. The Holy Quran, dear brothers and sisters, remember this. The Holy Quran says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We surely created human beings in the best form. You are beautiful. Every one of you is beautiful in the way that Allah has created you. But what kind of a world do we live in? We live in a world where the fashion industry, where modern beauty standards, where commercialization pushes people. If you have dark skin, go out and put on Fair and Lovely so you can become lighter. Meanwhile, light skin people are going to tanning salons so that they can become darker. People who have straight hair are going to get their hair curled. People with curly hair are going to get their hair straightened. Nobody's happy. Nobody's satisfied with the way that they look. This is while the Quran and Islam is constantly telling us, recognize the signs of Allah. Alwanikum, your colors, your skins, your languages, these are signs of Allah. These are something to be celebrated. In the words of Shaheed Malcolm X, who taught you to hate the color of your skin and the texture of your hair? We've got sisters out there who are painting their faces. I might look like the backward person and crazy for saying this. That's literally what sisters are doing out there. Painting their faces. Different colors. They call it makeup. Sister, why are you doing that? Because I feel like my value will be greater in society if I apply zina and beautify myself. Sister, I don't know how to tell you this. You look like a clown. You look like something that people would refer to as a hijabi Barbie. This is really sad. And again, media, the toys, Rahbar Muazzam has talked about this as well. The toys that we get for our children, that too is a form of media. If we're buying toys which are promoting a certain beauty standard, we should not be surprised if our young girls grow up to admire just that. And the great media war is also attacking our beliefs. How is it attacking our beliefs? You'll see that people have doubts even in the most proven, distinct, obvious, clear reality of Tawheed and Allah. How? You'll see that most of the role models, again, presented by these enemies of Islam, well, who have they been? Most of the scientists, the men of knowledge presented by the Western world have either been agnostic or atheist. We'll see that they promote and push people like Richard Dawkins, despite the fact that his arguments are baseless and weak. You'll see that they even promote certain comedians like Rowan Atkinson, better known as Mr. Bean, but when your heart gets attached to such a person and then you realize that that person is an outspoken atheist, it's going to have a psychological impact on your soul. Of course it is. I want to give you another subtle example, a more subtle example here. Think about any time that you have looked at a wildlife nature show. They've been talking about a certain species of jellyfish, or they're talking about, some camel. They'll tell you that Mother Nature created this. They'll tell you biology created this. They'll tell you evolution created this. Everything except Allah, except God. The idea is to remove God from the equation. And again, this is certainly going to have effect on our soul. And they are also attacking the concept of the Mahdi itself. We don't have time to go into the details, but you should look and see the film Dune, promoted by Hollywood. You should go and see the Netflix series called The Messiah. They are directly attacking the concept of Mahdawiyah now. Therefore, it becomes increasingly clear and obvious, dear brothers and sisters, that we must fight against this, resist against this, and do jihad against this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And so now we come to the second question, which is, how central to Islam is the concept of jihad, and how does this apply to media? If we go to the Quran, we'll see that it tells us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. We all want to be mu'mineen, but the Quran here is telling us only those are believers who believe in Allah and the Messenger. Then they have no doubts and they do jihad with their properties and with themselves. If we truly want to be believers, then we need to do jihad. We all want to go to Jannah. But the Quran says, do you really suppose that you will enter Jannah and Allah has not yet known which of you have done jihad in His way? You see how much of a central concept to this jihad, the very jihad that the enemies made us afraid of speaking about, is so central to the religion of Islam that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions in Ghurar al-Hikam that it is imaduddin. It is the pillar of the religion. Just like salah is a pillar of the religion, so too is jihad the pillar of the religion. Now we all know that in Islam, we have two types of jihad. We have the greater jihad, which is the jihad against the self, and we have the lesser jihad, which is the jihad against the external enemy. But some people try to talk about jihad only in terms of the greater jihad, and they try to brush away the lesser jihad. Dear brothers and sisters, just because it is the lesser jihad doesn't mean that we can brush it aside. No, we need to also engage in that lesser jihad. The Holy Prophet said, Allah covers with disgrace the one who abandons jihad. And he also said, the patience of a Muslim in places of jihad for one day is better than the worship of 40 years. So we cannot just relegate it to the greater jihad. We cannot, as many, unfortunately, many of the public speakers and scholars, because of that inherent fear that we have developed due to the war that has been waged against us, we're afraid of talking about it. It's part of the religion. We can't avoid it and we must engage in it. The Holy Prophet said, the deeds of all worshippers, as compared to the struggling and the jihad of the mujahideen on the battlefields, is like the tiniest gulp of seawater in the beak of a bird as compared to the entire ocean. That's how important the jihad is. And we're talking about the lesser jihad here. The military struggle here. Many people struggle. Many people will be putting their efforts into a certain project. Many people will be striving for a certain cause. But it's not jihad. Imam Khamenei said, not every struggle is a jihad. What makes a struggle qualify for jihad is when your efforts are against an enemy. Your efforts have to be against an enemy in order for it to qualify as being a form of jihad. You see, the key is to recognize the enemy and to fight against that enemy. Now, when it comes to media, we see that Imam Khamenei has been talking about Jange Narm. He's been talking about the soft war. More recently, he's been talking about Jihad Tabi'in, the jihad of clarification. Now, what I want to ask is, are these new concepts? I'd argue no, they're not new concepts. What revolutionary scholars like Imam Khamenei, like Imam Khomeini, like Shahid Beheshti, like Shahid Baqir al-Sadr did, is they took those concepts, those ahadith, which have been shelved and they were collecting dust, they took them and they presented it to the public. It's nothing new. They're just producing what the prophets had already said. And I want to give you an example. The Holy Prophet said, the believer can either fight against the enemy. He can either fight against the enemy with his sword or with his tongue. You see, there it is. The Holy Prophet talked about this previously. You can either fight with your sword or with your tongue. So, when it comes to jihad, there is the greater jihad and the lesser jihad. Both of these jihads have to be against an enemy. In terms of the greater jihad, who is the enemy? It is the internal enemy. When it comes to the lesser jihad, it's the external enemy. Now, when it comes to confronting that external enemy, you can either fight him using the sword, i.e. the hard war, or you can use the tongue, i.e. the soft war. This is what it's all about. And the Holy Prophet used to constantly urge the believers. There's a hadith where he is urging them to create poetry which would defame the polytheists. The Holy Prophet is telling you, use your tongue, use your words to attack the enemy, to attack the taghut. Use your words against the ruling elite. This is our deen. Now, a lot of these concepts might seem alien to us, or I can see from you the looks on some of the brothers' faces, it might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Why is it making you feel uncomfortable? If that's the case, is it not because of that media war that has been waged against us? We need to recognize that this jihad is a beautiful concept, and we need to reclaim this narrative and use it against the enemy. Because we have to recognize that every imam waged war against the enemy, either through the sword or through the tongue or both. And we have to make this comparison between the military front and the soft war front. Right, in the military front, we have swords and guns. In the media front, we have pens and phones. Right, our cameras and equipment are our bows and our missiles. Our studios and offices are our forts and bunkers. Our writers, directors, researchers are our military strategists. Our editors, producers, and presenters are our soldiers and commanders of the soft war. This is how we need to start seeing it. Now, the first thing that we need to do in order to resist against the enemy's plans is to reject the role models that they have given us. The Holy Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّقِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. O you who believe, do not take my enemy and your enemy as friends, as allies. تلقون إليهم بالمودة, showing to them affection. Don't let your hearts get attached to those negative or positive role models which have been presented by the enemy. It's very important for us to do this. And the Quran says, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. It says, do not obey the disbelievers. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. It says, fight against them, do jihad against them, a mighty jihad. This is what our deen requires from us. To not only disobey those disbelievers, not only disobey the ruling elite, but also to completely fight with might against them. This is what our deen is asking us to do. Everything that the enemy tells you, dear brothers, dear sisters, when they tell you a certain thing, do the opposite. If you see that they are pushing the LGBT agenda, push against the LGBT agenda and reject it. If you see that they are telling you to support Ukraine, make sure that you reject Ukraine. If they tell you to remove your hijabs, make sure you wear your hijab closer to you. Do everything that the enemy is telling you. Do the opposite, whatever they tell you. Now, one of the problems that we face in the soft war is that many of our dear brothers and sisters, they say that I want to serve in the soft war, but I don't have the necessary knowledge, or I don't have those necessary skills that I need. Well, if that's the case, number one, you should go out and gain those skills so that you can serve in the soft war. Remember, we want to be mu'mineen. In order to be mu'mineen, we need to wage jihad. And it's either going to be the soft war or the hard war. But we have to participate in it if we are to qualify for those higher stations. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. The Quran says, and those who do jihad for us, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will surely guide them in our ways. This is Allah's reassurance for you. If you step into the battlefield of the soft war, Allah Himself is guaranteeing that He will guide you, He will help you, He will open up those doors for you. He will strengthen you in ways that you could never have imagined before. And as they say, you should speak the truth even if your voice shakes. There's some people who say, what will people say? And this is a huge issue that we face. People are constantly worried, especially youths. They want to be officers, soldiers, commanders of the soft war, but they're constantly worried. What will they say about me? They might criticize me. I might get told this. I might get told that. The true mujahideen, and the Quran describes them as those whom Allah loves, are those who do not fear lawmata la'im. They are those who have no fear of the blame of the critics. They're not afraid of it. You need to be bold, you need to be brave. The Holy Quran says, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاتِ الْقَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهُ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. Prepare against them whatever you can of power and steeds, that you may terrify thereby your enemies and the enemies of Allah. This is what our religion teaches us, to be powerful, to be strong. And yet there are people who say that I will partake in that battle, but I'll do it when the imam comes. I'll do it after the dhuhr happens. They say, I will fight. And you know what? Many of us are going to fight when the dhuhr happens. But the question is, which of us are those who are going to fight before the dhuhr? The Quran tells us that those who fought وقاتل before the fath, before the conquest, they are greater in status than those who fought after. If we want to reach those higher stations, dear brothers and sisters, we need to fight before the zuhur of Imam Zaman, before everybody jumps onto the proverbial bandwagon. Now what I want to do is, because I know it's been very heavy, is give us some hope. Oftentimes we don't look into the future and see why it is that we're fighting. I want us to envision now, when we come to the third question, how do we envision the future of media in the era of the Mahdi? Now, there are some people who may think that after the Zuhur, media, as we know it, will just cease to exist. Imam Mahdi will abolish music. He'll just get rid of media totally. And maybe that will happen. I don't know. Allah knows best. But let's look at the hadith that we've all heard of before, where the Imam tells us that just as the world is filled with injustice, Imam Mahdi will come and fill it with justice. Due to the media war, we live in a world where everywhere you look, you see some form of injustice. In the future, maybe, inshallah, everywhere you look, you will see Islam in all its beauty and splendor. Everywhere you look, you will see such media in the future, which will engage all of your senses. Just imagine it, because of the technological advances. Right now, if you watch a movie, it's only engaging your vision and your hearing. In the future though, imagine you're watching a movie and you can smell the trees and the cut grass. When the actors go into underwater scenes, you can actually feel the water all around you. It is that media of the future which will engage all your senses. If the actors are eating food, you will be able to taste that food as well. In the future, inshallah, you will see such media, such music, that hearing that music will inspire generations to bring about revolution after revolution in their societies. You will see such movies that when you walk away from those movies, you will be inspired to such an extent that you will wish you could give your entire life for the sake of Allah. If you pick up a magazine, it will completely transform your perspective. The theme parks of that world will be so great, so magnificent, so splendid, that they will make Disneyland, they will make Universal Studios look like trash. You will see such comedies after the Zuhur, inshallah, which will be true comedies. They will genuinely make you laugh, and they won't spread any corruption. You will read such novels, you will hear such radio shows, you will see such sitcoms and dramas that they will inspire you to be a better human being. Inshallah, dear brothers and sisters, we have to have an idealistic vision of the future and know where it is we are heading. Inshallah, if we engage in this war, if we take part in the soft war, if we do jihad against the enemies, inshallah, then the world that our children will inherit will be a beautiful world where the media will be absolutely transformative. We will see a world where fitnas will be stamped out, not promoted. A world where liars will be exposed, not voted for. A world where voices of the oppressed will be heard, not ignored. A world where disinformation will be ridiculed, not endorsed. A world where true medical advice will heal the planet, not the capitalist agenda of twisted pharmaceutical companies. It will be a world where when you switch on the news, you will see nothing but good news. You will see that in Palestine, a new university has been founded. You will see that in Iraq, school children weren't bombed. No, they discovered a new species of dinosaurs during a school trip to an archaeological dig site. You will see a world where a Lebanese pilot broke the world record for the biggest tawaf around the Kaaba. He flew, and this tawaf that he did had such a big diameter of 10 kilometers, and he did that on his fighter jet. You will see a world where when you turn on the news, the headlines will tell you, Iran has launched a new expedition into space to explore the planet Sirius, the stars Sirius, and the other constellations. A world where education is valued, not for the sake of just gaining a job, but for the divine purpose of truly gaining knowledge. You will see a world where even in the furthest reaches of the planet, you turn on the television in Ramadan and you will see smiling faces talking and discussing about the Quran. You will see a world where you're watching a game show. It's a game show. And then the Adhan time happens. And the screen doesn't change. It's not a state-sponsored adhan. No. You see that the host himself takes the mic and he says, it's namaz time. We're going to stop for a moment. And you will witness him. He'll hand over the mic to the muadhin. You'll see that the same audience, which previously was clapping their hands and cheering and laughing at the game show, they go up onto the stage and they recite salah right there and then. You'll change the channel to see what else is on. And you'll see everybody's doing it. Everybody is reciting salah on every single channel. This is how the entire world can be transformed through the media. This is how, when we read verses of the Quran, where it says, for example, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. It is He, Allah, who has sent the messenger with guidance and the religion of truth that He may manifest it over all other religions. This is how, through media, we can make that a reality. Now, where does it all start? It may all start from right here in the holy city of Qum. The hadith of the Imams, alayhim as-salam, they told us that knowledge will spread from Qum until nobody, not even the women at home alone, will be unaware of our issue and our cause. And I have to say this, although I'm out of time, and I know you're all exhausted, but I really wanted to say this tonight. And you know what? The Queen might die. And if the Queen dies, I want this to be the day that I make this declaration. As students of Qum, for the sake of Imam Mahdi, we declare this day and every day henceforth our resolute bay'ah to Imam Khamenei, our commanding general in the soft war, and our steadfastness in the great battle against evil ideologies. And if anyone doubts the lengths we are willing to go in order to serve in this battlefield, let them know who our role model is. And so we come to the fourth and final question. Who is our role model in this fight? And obviously we have many role models. The Holy Prophet is Uswatun Hasana. We have Imam Ali alayhi salam, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But today particularly I want to say in the soft war, our role model is Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha. Sayyidah Zainab. A woman who was totally unshaken by the propaganda of Muawiyah done against the wali of her time. Look at the women of Ahlul Bayt. There was a plot against Imam Ali alayhi salam, and all of those women had gathered to defame and mock Imam Ali. What did Sayyida do? She goes right into the middle of that gathering and she sits down amongst all those enemies. They turn around, they see her, they become shocked, they become frightened. Oh my God, what's she going to do? And she destroyed their plot. Just like that, we will go into the midst of the enemy. We will go right into the eye of the storm, inshallah, and defend wilaya with everything that we have. This is a woman who spoke with the eloquence of her father, the dignity of her mother, Fatima al-Zahra, the courage of her brother, Hassan, with the love of her brother, Hussein. And she utterly exposed the people of Kufa for their unforgivable and shameless silence and betrayal. This is a woman who went into the court of Yazid and spoke directly to the face of the tyrant of her time and told him, "I saw nothing but beauty." Do you want to know, at the end of all of this, do you want to know what is the best form of jihad? For there are many forms of jihad. Somebody went to the Holy Prophet and asked him, "What is the best form of jihad?" The Holy Prophet said, "Kalimatun haqqin 'inda sultanin ja'ir." It is a word of truth in the face of a tyrannical ruler. Muharram Safar 40 is not just about crying, because even Ahle Kufa cried. And how could they not cry? How could they not cry when the words of Hussein, "Hal min nasirin yansurni," were still echoing through the air? How could they not cry when they saw all of these noble women of the Ahlul Bayt being paraded in the streets like common prisoners? How could they not cry when they saw the heads of the Ahlul Bayt upon the spears? How could they not cry when they saw the noble blessed lips of Hussein reciting the Quran? How could they not cry when they look and they see two youths on a Muhammad? They looked and they saw and they thought they were looking at the face of the Prophet. But this was the noble head of Ali ibn Akbar. And then they turned and they saw a little head of a baby. It was the head of Ali Asghar. Tonight we remember a very special young girl. She was a special young girl who was always cheerful and bright. The accounts describe her as being contemplative. She would sleep on her father's chest and was the light of his eye. And despite all the hardships that she suffered, she never said a word against the wali of her time. She never said a complaint against her imam. Who is this very special young girl? There was a point in Karbala when Hussein was all alone. He had buried the body of Abbas and the body of Ali ibn Akbar, and he had dug a small grave with his sword and buried the tiny body of Ali Asghar. Hussein must have been now in his loneliest moment. He bid farewell to his sister Zainab. "Oh Zainab, I am going to go and meet my grandfather, the Holy Prophet. You are the one who is going to have to be patient and continue." And he climbs onto his white horse, Zuljana, And when he climbs onto the horse and he whips the reins, but the horse will not move. Oh, Zuljanah, why will you not take me into the battlefield? Hussein turns and he sees that there is a tiny girl, 4 years of age, holding onto the leg of the horse. Don't take my father away, when all my brothers and uncles went, they did not return. When my cousin Qasim went, his body was brought back. When my brother Ali Akbar went, they killed him and tore his body to pieces. Why don't I hear that my baby brother Ali Asghar crying anymore? Why is it so silent here? When my uncle Abbas went to get me water, he did not return. Oh, Zuljanah, do not take my father away. In the prison, Sakina is crying loudly. They bring a tray to Sakina. She says, I am missing my father. And they bring the blessed head of Abu Abdullah, covered in blood. This young girl embraces the head of her father. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. I'd like to ask us all to raise our hands in dua. There's just one dua that I'd like us all to make today. Oh Allah, help us to recognize what the soft war is and to participate in it. Please recite the Surah Fatiha for Sayyid Muhammad Ali Abidi.